Welcome to the Dead Harvey Podcast. This is the place for indie horror filmmakers and fans. We have fun promoting and celebrating indie horror, do interviews, deep dives, and even include some educational material. Kelly Shaw is back with us, and today we're going to be talking about the movie I subjected him to. I made him watch a true cult movie. Notable in the halls of cult movie history for its shittiness, drawing large crowds from around the world that laugh at its ineptitude. So, I apologize for making you watch this, Kelly, but it is an experience, and it is an important footnote in cult movie history.
I just like to say, if you ever do watch Troll 2, to be specific, if you eat the food, you're dead. Well, you turn into something, I'll just leave it at that.
Yes, you turn into a human meat plant hybrid. You know, with Hollywood being as progressive as it is, it does not give vegetarians a very good reputation.
But if you think about it, and if we were vegetarians, we would have loved this show.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Think about how woke that is. The snubbed at the Oscars again.
Again, another movie.
Again.
There's so many things they overlooked, and there's so many moments of greatness. This movie should get an Oscar for its ability to pull off awkwardness at a level I've never seen before.
The acting alone in this show, I mean, especially the little kid was just, it blew me away.
Well, the funny thing about the little kid is that the little kid's the only, I mean, him, well, okay, there's a little, two characters in the movie that do the most overacting. The little kid and then the witch and the adult witch. Now, the kid is not so much his fault because he's a little kid, so you can't blame him. But even the kid has, like, a radar for the fact that he should, even though he's going way over the top with it, at least the kid, it dawns on him that he should probably be using some emotion. Because the adults don't seem to have any reaction to things going on around them, no matter how crazy it gets.
Yeah, I was wondering about that the whole show. The dad was supposed to be a real, like, good take charge guy, yeah. But he hardly said anything throughout the whole show.
Yeah.
Except get in the house.
Yeah, the dad's all like stern and angry for no reason whatsoever.
But he was quietly stern.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, he's very old school kind of stern. So this, because there's been a movie about the making of Troll 2, and he was a dentist that really wanted to be an actor. And so everybody was making fun of him for his acting in the movie, but especially his line, "Don't piss on hospitality." That's a very popular line in this movie. So this kid, okay, so the movie starts out with this grandpa telling the story of this kid about to his grandkid about the goblins and everything. So the kid and his family, they go to the city of Nilbog, and then no one realizes that it's goblin spelled backwards until towards the very end of the
movie.
Man,
I didn't either until they pointed it out.
Well,
so.
To be fair, when I saw it before, I didn't realize it until they started to get it.
I was like, holy shit, mind blown.
And now I feel like a total moron for not realizing it, but yeah, but apparently nobody in the movie can either. Like,
I was thinking, dude, that's a weird name for a town.
What they needed to have in their family was someone dyslexic, and then they would have gotten it right away. Anyways, the townspeople want to murder the family, and they want to turn them into human-plant hybrids. And they want to feed them only... Well, it's weird, because they don't want them to eat kind of like any human meat or anything, or they don't want them to eat any kind of meat, anything that will like taint them, anything with chemicals or preservatives in it. But then they try and feed them all this like sugary stuff. Okay, this is what confused me a lot about this movie, is that the townspeople are all regular-sized, and they're trying to make it, like, blend in there. So they want, like, all the tourists to come in, they want to lure them into feeding them, and then eating them after they're all slain. But then there's also, like, these dwarf goblins in the movie. So if you kill, like, a regular-sized townsperson who's a dwarf goblin pretending to be a regular person, when he dies, he turns into a dwarf goblin. That turns to, like, stone, basically. But, I mean, is there a real state, like, dwarf goblin or human? Are the dwarf goblins, like, a different class than the humans? You know what I'm talking about?
No, man, I'm totally lost. I didn't even pick up any of that during the show.
Well, I'm just saying, there's dwarf goblins and there's humans, but they're both goblins. So I'm wondering why can't we just get all dwarf goblins?
That, well, yeah, I think we should.
So they didn't do a very good job of world building.
No, they didn't.
Yeah. They didn't do like a Dungeons and Dragons thing where they build their character. And we get to understand like the different classes and races in the system, whether they're like a a wood dwarf or a city dwarf goblin, etc. Yeah.
Don't get the D&D people up going about this. If we made the wrong reference in D&D character stuff, we apologize. We know that D&D is a tight crowd.
Yeah, I admire the... well, I tried to play D&D once or twice. And it was kind of, but it was kind of like when trying to play Magic. It was, I just didn't have enough patience for it. This kid I worked with, and he's like, you got to play Magic. I was like, I don't like that card game stuff. He goes, no, I'll teach you how to play it. He was trying to teach me how to play it, and I was like, I can't. Like, tried for like 3 hours. I'm like, I still didn't get it. Remember how dangerous D&D was in the 80s because all the parents thought you were into Satanism if you played it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. One of my friends, actually, her mom burnt all of his books. He got a D in math. So there you go. Be careful with your D&D addiction, I guess.
Yeah. There was a Tom Hanks movie, like one of his first movies called Maces and Monsters. It was, I think, loosely based off this true story about a D&D nerd that like goes off the rails and he gets too immersed in it because they're doing like this real life recreation of a Dungeons and Dragons scenario and they have a quest to go on and everything. And he just loses touch with reality and tries to slay all the people that he came there with. You ever seen that classic?
Man, now I'm a little afraid of D&D all of a sudden.
Yeah. Don't be afraid. It's for everyone.
No. If you didn't make it through the 80s, you probably didn't play D&D.
It just seemed like too, well, it was just, to me, it was just too much work. Because I know you could probably get into it and get immersed in it. But when I was in college, one of the people that I used to work at this, like the food service place with in college, was all about like Dungeons and Dragons. He's like, well, let's try Rift. Let's try playing this game at Rift. And Rift was like a sci-fi version of Dungeons and Dragons where you go through different like portals to different areas and stuff. But it was more sci-fi based. But it was still kind of like RPG where you set up your own characters and everything. And for the entire weekend, we were there. Like all of us had the weekend off. We would just go there. And it was like 3 days. I was in a chair. And we were having beers and stuff, so it was okay. But we're building the character over like 3 days and still weren't done yet. So we still didn't really do anything or like get to even play. It was just all this lead-up plot that felt like it was way too much research and we were in class and it started boring me. Like nothing happened. So I was just like, well, 3 days have gone by and I've just created a character and we haven't even played anything yet. So I'm sorry, I'm just going to leave.
So, yeah, character building usually took us more time than actually playing the game.
Yeah. Yeah, so I understand the obsession with it, but I'm just too lazy. I'd rather play something like The Witcher or something where I can see, you know, where you get everything the Dungeon Master is telling you, but it's showing you on the screen as you're playing it. Now, what movie were we talking about, Kelly?
Oh, man. Yeah, Troll 2.
Troll 2, yeah.
We just nerded out on D&D. Yeah. I don't know, man.
Oh, what's funny is at the beginning of the movie, when the grandpa's telling his kid the story, and he's telling him about, well, he tells him the story like way back in ancient times of yore. When these
guys was watching The Princess Bride.
Yeah, that's what, yeah. Well, they were trying to be, well, maybe The Princess Bride ripped them off. We don't know.
I think The Princess Bride ripped them off. Yeah,
yeah. But like they're the dwarves are like dancing around in the very beginning of this movie when the grandpa's telling the story. And it's about like this goblin lady that's pretending to be a hot chick to make this guy eat this weird like green shit that looks like the vomit they ate in the movie Bad Taste. So that's how it starts out. So it's slightly different than the story the grandpa was telling the kid in Princess
Bride. Well, I was going to say, if this show were real, I would have been dead already. Because if somebody offered... I'm on a seafood diet. Yeah, seafood, I eat it. So be careful around trolls.
Yeah. Well, running from dwarf trolls would be a good exercise.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so I'm looking up like memorable things that we could... Oh, I know what struck out for me in this movie is that... I think that dwarf goblin makeup artists are overworked because you see different degrees of budget in the movie for the dwarf mask. Like one of the dwarves that's in the one of the dwarf goblins that's in the front looks like somebody put him in a chair and spent like 4 hours putting makeup on him. Other ones, they said, we don't have time to do this. Just go to the Spirit Halloween store and we'll put some other kind of makeup over your face. And we won't really secure it underneath your shirt. We'll let it flop around for a little bit.
It's like they had one good makeup artist, and the rest of them, they're like, close enough. Yeah. Close enough.
It reminded me of the Planet of the Apes movies. In the Planet of the Apes movies, the first one was either nominated or got an Oscar for the makeup. And then with each, and I think it was the same guy that did the makeup for The Exorcist. And with each additional ape movie, in the series. Even though they were making the studio a lot of money, the studio didn't give them as much money because all, like so many of the other movies the studio put out, lost money. So basically they had to, Planet of the Apes was like their only, one of their only money makers. And they still cut the budget for that, but they knew people were going to go see it. So the budgets kept getting lower and lower until we started getting, I think it was in like 3 or 4 where those masks were like super, they get progressively shittier as they get lower budget. But you can actually see them just like hanging loose and not even any like job of like putting some glue to like make them look like they're attached to the neck or anything like that.
Man, you had to bring that up.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite movie series.
I know. It is. And it's a shame, too, especially since the makeup in the first one was so great. The makeup in the Tim Burton remake with Mark Wahlberg is actually pretty cool. But the rest of the movie is pretty shitty news.
Was that Marky Mark?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and the Funky Bunch. Okay, question, Kelly. This movie is like a huge cult movie, so would you travel like 3 hours outside of town to see this movie at a PAX screening where maybe like they were giving away beer or something?
Yes, I would. I'd love to see this on the big screen. Just, it's not a bad movie, but it's so bad it's good, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I'm trying to say. I mean, you have to take it for what it is. You know, there's a reason why it didn't show up at the Oscars, but
yeah,
you know, it's still a good movie. Especially with a lot of beer.
It's an entertaining bad movie, but it would be more, yeah, definitely be fun with a crowd. Bad movies are great with a crowd. Like seeing The Room with a crowd would be fantastic.
Oh, yeah. With fans of the show, that'd be awesome. Are you kidding? Of course I would.
We need something like the Alamo Drafthouse. The Alamo Drafthouse is a place that they kind of have them. There's some in like California and then Texas, maybe a couple other spots, but there are these places where you go in and you can order beers when you're there, and they do like theatrical kind of shit. They bring people that were involved in the movie out, and they have really like packed cult screenings where they do things like that, or like these special 2 movies. But yeah, Troll 2 has inspired several like documentaries and short movies about the making of it. It's a kind of a cult movie phenomenon. I think there's like a book or two written about it as well. But yeah, so how do you think this ranks with like the cult movies that that you've seen recently, like? Well, let's say like Velocipaster. How would you rank this up against Velocipaster?
Ooh. Now, if I had to choose between the two movies, I would take Velocipaster.
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
Well, Velocipaster is actually pretty awesome. This movie you watch and you're kind of like, some spots are like drag a bit, but it's fun because of the overacting. Velocipaster, and it's just because of the shit that's so out there and how freaking awkward it is, but Velocipaster is a more purposefully bad movie. I think this one, they were semi-trying to make a regular movie and just it didn't work out. Or the unintentional comedy was the result of that.
Unintentional comedy.
Yeah. And then there's some really weird, bizarre stuff, too, where the witch, well, she appears as like a regular woman in front of a college kid or whatnot. And so she greases him, but she like puts popcorn in her mouth that she takes out of somewhere. I don't know, like, it's like Captain Caveman, he stores things in his body. We don't know where she took this out of, where she was, like, putting this corn in the cob, but she had the ability to put it into his mouth and then, like, make more, popcorn that would fill up this entire, like, RV they're in. From one corn a cob. I don't know if it's more impressive that she filled up that entire RV with popcorn or that she was able to make popcorn with just her teeth.
I think it's both. Yeah. Because when I make popcorn, I usually make too much.
Yeah, but she can do it without the microwave. That's a skill. Serious skill. Okay, well, let's go ahead and jump into lessons learned by the indie cult classic Troll 2. Learning how to read backwards can save your life. Don't piss on hospitality.
Check. Well, okay, check.
Never trust a witch with braces.
I was wondering about that. Mm-hmm.
Well, you notice that like when she was in witch form, there are scenes where she had the braces, and then there was at least one scene where she didn't have the braces.
Yeah, and the skateboard in the middle of the show is 2 different skateboards instead of one.
Right, there was like a glowing thing. Was there one that like didn't have a glowing thing on the front of it?
In the initial scene, the skateboard was smaller.
Okay, yeah.
And then when you see him in the barn wherever he was, the skateboard is actually a longboard.
Yeah. Well, I'm surprised they had the budget for like more than one skateboard.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. That's weird.
Yeah, that's what you're saying, because you're saying, like, when that scene pulled up, like, I think that's like they were using multiple skateboards. And I was like, well, it makes sense that nothing would match, but it also doesn't make sense they would spend money. Rednecks give dangerous directions. You know about the goblin, braces, though? How could you have that much supernatural power? How could you have the supernatural power to make fire with your, like popcorn happen with your teeth, but not be able to make it so you don't have to have braces? I don't get that.
Man, I'm sorry. I'm still stuck on redneck directions. I used to live out in the country, and directions there are just way different from... Sorry, that I was just laughing about. You know, you turn right by the Stevenson house, and you go down the road a ways, and you're there.
Well, the directions I always used to laugh at were like the hay bales. The people would go... Before Bozeman turned into this super... Like Montana's version of Park City. Before that happened, it was very country, and the directions you would get were, yeah, you just take a right at the third hay bale, and then you go down... one telephone pole, 3 miles down, take a right at another hay bale, and then you'll see their house on the left. Yeah. Yeah, and now that town is like a martini bar in one of the places where whenever they had a college rivalry game, people get thrown out of windows.
Oh, which rivalry game would that be, Brad?
Oh, that would be the Cat Grizz.
Cat Grizz, yeah, you got that right.
But you go in there now, and you're like, what happened to this place? There is no, like, sleaziness about it. You can tell there's, like, it got rid of all the stories that used to be there for years and years and years, all the epic tales of things that happened during extreme moments of drunkenness, legendary moments of drunkenness.
You had me at sleazy.
Yeah. And it's all gone now. It's all gone because it's all a hipster boutique martini bar. Yeah, it's depressing. Anyways. So, moving on. Goblin witches love decorating with fog. You notice that every movie, goblin witches, and there's fog in the background.
Mm.
Chainsaws, sawing plants turn people on. There's a fetish for everything, Kelly.
Yeah, look that up on TikTok.
Yeah. Goblin dwarves can jump through the back of mirrors like Candyman. Humans are far less trustworthy than ghosts. Grandpas can be fire starters, too. Witches can turn corn on the cob into popcorn with their teeth. Ghosts never reveal their real visiting hours. You notice this? They just decide to show up at random moments. Take the end of Return of the Jedi, for example. They show up as Force ghosts at the very end after they've had their main battle with the Empire. And you would think, like, if you have, like, supernatural powers to show up as a ghost in moments and help me, why do you just show up at the end after we do everything?
He could have distracted Darth Vader. You know what I'm saying? He could have just showed up and said, hey, man, I'm sorry about all the lava burns.
Yeah, that's the least he could say.
Yeah, yeah.
I think ghosts in movies, they could probably just solve everything or defeat the villains in the movie like right away. But I think they're just lazy. They don't want to do anything. They're officially retired, so they want to tell everybody around them, all the living people, to go do everything for them. Like, we'll just give you some random advice, pop in, maybe save you one time, but for the rest of the time, we're just going to be annoying and keep talking to you and not really be able to do anything for you. Right?
Right.
Okay, next. Gut pillows help cushion the impact of goblin dwarf stair dives. You notice this, there's scenes in the movies where these dwarf goblins get thrown down the stairs and there's obvious pillow guts on the front. They probably were dealing with a cranky goblin dwarf, and they only wanted to do one take.
Right, right.
Dwarf trolls are whipped, as in, like, sprung on the cat, because they are toadies to the queen. They really have...
I was going to say something you really can't say. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm with you now.
But they're toadies to the queen. Like, they have no, like, real quality of life. They just run around with these burlap sacks and these very inefficient spears... And they just run around in the forest trying to eat green shit every now and then. And then they just toad themselves to the queen. Whatever she does, she just snaps her fingers and the dwarf goblins at her beck and call. So those dwarves are whipped. Goblins have a green fetish. And then last but not least, bologna sandwiches are a lifesaver. All those things, all those warnings they've given us about bologna sandwiches... And how terrible they are for you, how terrible they are for your body, will lead you to an early grave. If you're up against a goblin from Nilbog, you eat a bologna sandwich, it'll taint everything about you that they want to eat. So it'll literally save your life.
Just in case vegetarians come after you, eat a bologna sandwich is really what Brad's trying to say.
Yeah. These are militant vegetarians, though.
We love you, vegetarians. Mm-hmm. We're just teasing, by the way.
Yeah. Okay, so any lessons that you learned for this or from this movie, or any final thoughts you have on Troll 2?
I thought the food looked a little redundant. Like, here, have this green-colored food to entice you to turn into a... Well, you'll see. You know, it's like they didn't even have real-looking food, which is confusing.
Yeah, that was weird. Oh, that's a very good point. Like, the food that they're trying to feed people to get them to taste the way they want is like, and they don't go to much effort to make it look appetizing. Aside from some of their things, like the cookies, some of those looked okay. Or the cake, that looked okay. Because there's just a cake, like, with, you know, a little bit of, like, mostly vanilla and then some green frosting on the top of that where they do the decorations.
But if you happen to use marijuana, you might think those food choices are pretty awesome.
Well, if you happen to be on marijuana, anything may taste good.
Very true.
And no matter, like, what size the portion is, if it's in front of you, it's pretty much going to be gone. That's why I never understood stoners like Shaggy or, like, skinny stoners.
How does he stay so skinny with all those movie snacks?
Well, he's like Jughead from Jughead and Archie. Yeah. Jughead could eat, like, a mountain of hamburgers and shit and not gain any kind of weight whatsoever. It must have been, like, some magic in that like, hipster hat that he was wearing, that crown.
Our younger audience may not know who Jughead is.
Well, there was a... Remember how we were talking last time about all the remakes?
They're making a remake of
They already did. Yeah, they already did. They called it Riverdale, and it came out a couple of years ago. And it was on the CW, so it was all about, like... You know, CW is all about, like, teen drama kind of crap.
Right.
And so it was like that, but they had, like, a...
You're being serious.
I'm being absolutely serious, okay. Yeah.
Go, continue.
I'll show you a trailer for it. It's terrible. But it's basically like a Twin Peaks version of Archie. And then all the characters are like banging each other. And like in the very first episode, that like the teacher, Mrs. Grundy, remember Mrs. Grundy in the Archie comics? Gray-haired older lady?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and she was always kind of like, she was always like pissed off. She was always upset about something. She was almost as angry as like Mr. Weatherby was all the time. But anyways, in the show, in the Riverdale show, she's this hot, like, milfy, kind of like younger teacher. Well, maybe like early, mid-30s or something like that. But yeah, she's just really laying it on to the kid playing Archie in this movie. And, like, those people at CW, Kelly, I mean, they have no morals.
There's a lot of, I'd like to say a lot of things, but yeah. You could only get away with an old female character
doing
that
right,
with a male character. Mm-hmm. Which I think on any level is completely wrong. But to have it on TV, well, you know, that's what it's going to be.
I had a Spanish teacher for 2 years, though, that was so hot, I only learned 3 words in Spanish. ¿Cómo te llamas? ¿Where es tu biblioteca? And me llamo Leonardo. That was
Dame más, por favor.
Yeah. Muy poquito. But she would always wear, like, very revealing clothes when she came into class, and like all the guys were staring at her, and the girls kind of like looked over at the guys, and you could tell they were all pissed off because this teacher got a lot of attention. And then the teacher eventually started dating someone and getting serious because we started noticing hickeys, and then she started coming in with turtlenecks, and then she stopped wearing the revealing clothing, and everything by the point when she got engaged, everything was covered up. All right, so I think that's it for Troll 2.
I think that's it, yeah. Put a bow on it. That's Troll 2.
We end our discussion about Troll 2 by getting into some weird sidetrack on Archie.
Oh, we sidetracked into D&D really well.
Wait, I'll show you the trailer for Riverdale after this. You'll be like...
Right on.
It is one of those things, like, when you describe it, you can't believe that it's real. That's, like, when I heard about it. But they make so much shit that doesn't make any sense nowadays, nothing surprises me anymore. Especially after what they did with the new Scooby-Doo.
Oh, there's no Scooby Snacks?
No, the new Scooby-Doo is called Velma. It's on HBO Max now. It's a show it's like an origin story about the Scooby-Doo gang, but it just focuses on Velma.
Now, Velma's the smart one.
Right, so Velma's the smart one. Right. She's the only one that can figure everything out. Everybody else is an idiot, and there's no Scooby-Doo in it.
Well, she loses her glasses. I mean, she's completely up the creek.
It's true. Yeah, that was her kryptonite, basically, was the glasses. Yeah, because glasses were like half the size of her face. Yeah. But anyways, okay. So we'll be done now. All right. Well, thank you for listening to our rant about Troll 2 and other things that I hope will make sense later on. And till next time, learn how to read backwards. And we'll see you. And yeah. And you know what? Spam, bologna sandwiches, stuff like that. Always keep an extra can around. All right. We'll see you next time on the Dead Harvey Podcast.